Welcome back to the Reverse Autoimmune Disease Summit Series, everyone. I'm Dr. Keisha Ewers. We are on our fourth iteration of the Reverse Autoimmune Disease Summit Series. This is, of course, the autoimmune detox component. We're working with those four corner pieces of the puzzle. Each one of us are unique, but we all have genetics that are going to play a part in our autoimmunity. We all have our gut and gut health that's going to play a part. We all have our own stress loads and past trauma that play a part in how those genetics are regulated or expressed, and also how our gut health is and the microbiota that live in there. And then we also, that fourth corner piece is the toxic burden. And each of us is different in terms of how exposure to different kinds of toxins will impact us. 95% of Americans has Epstein-Barr virus is a good example, but not 95% of Americans have autoimmune disease with Epstein-Barr. So what we want to know is, so what is that component of toxic load and burden? And part of that is the genetic aspect of how your body detoxes the toxins that you're exposed to. And what can we do in our exterior world to reduce the burden as much as possible and be kind to these beautiful bodies that carry us around throughout this lifetime? So I'm really excited to introduce to you Julie Michelson, who is an international speaker, a best-selling author, and a national board certified functional medicine health coach. She specializes in inflammation and autoimmunity. So she has created RA the Right Way to partner with her clients in making changes necessary to reduce inflammation and optimize healing. And I'm really excited to have you here, Julie, to talk about this. This is something that a lot of people are unaware of is, oh, I can actually reduce my load. I have some choices that I can do here. So welcome to the series.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I always start off all my interviews because I always say we have a reason that we all sit here, you know, with your own story. And I find that they're quite compelling, the reasons that we all are doing the work that we do in the world. And I would love to hear yours and have you share it with our viewers.
I thank you. Like so many of us, I got to this autoimmune healing world through my own journey with rheumatoid arthritis. I was in my early 30s when I was diagnosed as a single mom with three kids. And unfortunately for me at the time, I believed my doctors when they said that I couldn't heal. So I spent over a decade in decline, following their advice and taking the prescriptions. I was up to 10 prescriptions by the time I luckily woke up and realized that perhaps there were things I could do to at least improve my symptoms. I really never expected at that point that I could completely reverse them and heal. And so, you know, like many of us, that is where my passion comes from. I want to make sure everybody knows that we can take control. And that's one of the reasons I love this subject of how we can reduce our toxic load, because again, it's steps we can take to really impact our body's ability to heal.
You use that word control, and I always call control the biggest addiction that humans have. that's the thing we want is control, right? We want control over everything, including how we die and when we die, if we can have it. You know, like there's just so much around control that's present that I think autoimmune disease, cancer, things like that really sort of illustrate to us, oh, you really don't have control. You never did have control. And any semblance of control you think you have is just delusional. But the thing that you have is control over how you respond to the things that are out of control out here. You know, so the idea that we can control out here is really, that's never happening. It's a myth. But we can control our own response to these things. And so this is what we're doing today, is allowing for that, right? Like, okay, so what can I control? I can control what I put in my mouth. Can't necessarily control how polluted the planet is, right? But I can control the part that I have control over. And so I really appreciate this subject so much because it does have a great deal of impact on how your immune system and genetics will express themselves. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, control and power are, to me, are connected. Mm-hmm. And so many of us with autoimmunity hit a point where we really feel like we have lost our power. And so everything I do, you do, is all about regaining that power, you know, educating, making sure we know what our choices are and how to support our bodies. And so, yeah, this is, I'm a total geek. I love all areas of lifestyle connected to autoimmunity, but this is an area very near and dear to my heart. My underlying cause of my rheumatoid arthritis is toxicity. So
is what?
Toxicity.
Yeah.
Is toxic overload, heavy metals, molds, and environmental toxins. So I thought I was passionate about it before. I'm even more passionate about it now.
Well, let's talk about the role that toxic burden plays in autoimmune disease. We haven't made a direct connection. So let's talk a little bit about that. What is the role?
Absolutely. So I like to look at toxins as cumulative, right? As you mentioned, our bodies are these incredible things and they're made to heal and we are made to detox. But due to things like genetics, some of us detox better than others. And like you said, different, you can take 100 people and give them the same exposure and get probably 100 outcomes or close right. to it. But we are so overloaded now. You know, people ask me all the time, well, why are the autoimmune numbers, you know, on the rise exponentially? And I truly believe that one of the biggest reasons is this toxic burden, especially because, as you mentioned, it affects everything. It's our air, it's our water, it's our food. It's everywhere. So it doesn't even need to be some, you know, strange radioactive material, or it's just day to day as we move on the planet. And so that chronic state of inflammation, our body's always fighting. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Right. You know, these toxins are invaders. And it just really sets up, and it, you mentioned gut health, you know, we know, you know, the toxic load impacts the gut health, leads to food sensitivities and autoimmune responses. And so it's this vicious cycle. But if we're not addressing, again, where we can make an impact on our body's exposure, I think it's short-sighted.
You know, I'm going to use a term to start us off with a little bit. In earlier times on the planet, coal miners used to take a little yellow canary down into the coal mine with them, and they would hang the cage up, and then they would pay attention. If the canary fell over dead in the cage, they would know that slowly, slowly, these gases were accumulating in the shafts and that they needed to get out. So the canary was the early warning alert system for them before there was a time of electronics measuring all of this. And so we really, you know, those of us with autoimmune disease, I think of us as those little caged canaries. You know, we're on this planet in our little cage of the world that we have created. And those of us that keel over, you know, with an autoimmune illness are really the alert system for the rest of the world that there's something going on in the toxic burden that the planet is holding between the air, soil, and water. And then our practices of, you know, dumping glyphosates and our farming practices and just so much of what we do that is actually, COVID was amazing to show us toxic burden of the planet before COVID. And then 3 months later, so much had lightened because of our practices, right? And so I'm going to just start us off with, we are the canaries in the coal mine, the ones that are listening to this who are interested in how to reverse their autoimmune disease. And so if you can think of yourself in that way and say, oh, I happen to have this system that shows early warning, right? And this is actually a beautiful thing. It's not a betrayal by my body. It's not something anyone's done to me. This happens to just be the system that I inhabit, right? And I do 100% of my patients I do genetic testing on, and 100% of people with autoimmunity over the years have had mismatches between their phase one, phase two detoxification. And so we really do have a little hitch in our get along when it comes to being able to get rid of the toxins that we're exposed to. So it's not necessarily about the burden out here, but our ability also to be able to release those things. And so this is a really important talk and discussion. And so I'm really glad for everyone that's joining us. So we've already kind of answered why it's important to pay attention. And if you're mamas, you know, it's really important to teach your children, right? Because this planetary problem's not getting better and you've passed your genetics on.
Right. So. Yeah, you cook those beautiful babies sometimes in a toxic soup.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, and I always say, if you can't find the energy and the bandwidth and the mental clarity to do it for yourself, then make sure that you think about, okay, I've got a whole family here, right? That needs to, because 80% of autoimmune diseases are diagnosed in women. And so, you know, this is a really also very relevant subject. You know, we have more fat tissue than men. We have breasts, right? We have this pelvis that has a little bit more fat around it. You know, we're supposed to, so that we can bear those babies. And then in that fat tissue milieu of breasts, that's where our milk comes through to feed our babies. And so this really becomes important for us to be able to unhook some of this, because a lot of these chemicals that we're talking about are estrogen mimicking, estrogen disrupting, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, as you're saying that, I'm visualizing, you know, because we know that that's where those toxins are sitting, is in our fat. It is really remarkable. And just to circle back to what you had said before about, you know, we are the canaries, and this isn't a betrayal of our body.
No.
It's information.
Yes.
You know, we actually can shift our thinking and realize that it is a gift. We just sometimes need the support to uncover exactly what it is our body is telling us so that we can correct it.
And having a really finely tuned, subtle energy system like that, that can pick it up earlier, is such a blessing, because then that means you're going to be a little bit more attuned, aware, educated, collaborative, you know, articulate about what it is the rest of the world needs to hear. And so if you can start that dialogue with compassionate curiosity with your system, then it can permeate out to the rest of the rings of your community, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So my story is RA too, Julie, in my early 30s, you know, and I was able to reverse it within 6 months, because I really started that dialogue with my body, asking, okay, body, why are we killing ourselves right now? You know, like, instead of how do I get out of this as rapidly as possible, I really started asking that question instantly, like, oh, autoimmune means I'm attacking me. That means I'm at war with myself. When did I first want to die? You know, and that was a really important question. And so that's that body that is such a gift that we're given, you know, it has its own consciousness, and it provides information all the time, and it will give that to you if you ask it. So where is a good place to start when we're starting to talk about the toxins in our home environment? Like, where should we start? Because this is such a huge subject, and people can hear the stats that say, by the time a woman leaves her home, she can be potentially exposed to 500 toxins in the morning, right? Before she's even left the house. And so, you know, it's like, that can become so overwhelming. So where should they start?
Well, and I want to point out that the home, were, in my opinion, is the place to start. That control, we have control,
yeah.
But also many people don't realize that, you know, inside your home, you're exposed to more toxins than you are out and about, even if you live in a city. And we just don't think of it that way. But, you know, we're inside, our houses are almost airtight at this point. The chemicals used in construction, and, you know, our furniture. I mean, so it's, and again, I'm not trying to freak anybody out. You know, it can be overwhelming. And that's why in RA the Right Way, for instance, we take 6 weeks. Like, this is a process.
Yeah.
And again, just like every other aspect of improving your lifestyle, it's not about perfection. And it can take years to get. I know, much like, because I didn't have guidance when I was first starting my healing journey, it took me years to optimize my diet. You know, I would make a change and it would seem better. And it was this really slow process. And I found the same thing because I didn't have people like us guiding me with cleaning up the products in my home. You know, I thought I was using really green products. And so a place to start is, I say number one, before I go to which room to start in, because you already mentioned one, is really educating yourself about the products you're actually using. Because so many of them are greenwashed and marketed as natural or green or clean, or, and they're not. And I had fallen into that trap. I was getting some popular brand things that I thought were so clean, and it took me a long time to circle back. So first is familiarize yourself with what you're using. And I do tend to, again, we let energy and lack of overwhelm drive where we start, right? So I think the two biggest rooms in the house to create impact are the bathroom and the kitchen. Those are just the two. So, and you did, you brought up, you know, just ridiculous amount of toxins that women are exposed to in our cosmetics and our, you know, even our luxury skincare products and our hair care. I mean, and.
I would say not even, I would say especially our luxury skincare.
It's true. Very true.
Because, you know, breast cancer shows up in higher socioeconomic classes more.
Yes.
Where there are treated leather seats and brand new cars and, you know, fake fingernails and bottled plastic water and dry cleaning and luxury skincare and hair care products. So, you know, that's I think a really important thing for us to understand. The more you spend on your cosmetics and your skincare does not necessarily mean it's better for you.
No, not even a little bit. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And it also doesn't mean, you know, that the cheapest one you can find is going to be clean.
Right. And although it's, you know, like in Ayurvedic medicine, which of course is 10,000-year-old sister science of yoga, sesame oil, cold pressed organic sesame oil, very inexpensive. That's what I use as a moisturizer. You know what I mean? Like, right. That is the least expensive thing.
Right. Really go back to basics. Right. But not from your beauty supply store.
Or right.
Pharmacy. When we really go back to basics, well, and that's the perfect rule. I love, you know, I won't put anything on my body that I couldn't put in my body.
Yeah.
It's a great rule to start with. Does it mean I eat my shampoo? No. But could I? And would it be okay? Yes, it would. But the bathroom is just loaded with, you know, anything that foams from, you know, your soaps to your shampoos, toothpaste, you know, is, toothpaste and deodorant are usually the places, you know, I start. And again, when I say it's a process, I don't mean, you know, room by room, like a room a day. I mean, it can take a long time.
Yeah.
I encourage people to do their research and make their plan. And then as they run out of their products, unless they're super motivated and they're like, no, now that I've learned this, I don't want this stuff touching me. That's great too. But for cost and stress management.
Level of energy you have, level of brain fog versus clarity. Like, we know.
Been there, done that.
Yes.
So the bathroom, I think, is a huge bang for the buck because it is so loaded. It can be so loaded with toxins. It's direct contact in our mouth, on our skin. And we know we absorb through our skin. It's our biggest organ. So that's often where I will tell people to start. And it's often one of the easier places for people to find clean products as well. I think, you know, it's, they've become, thank goodness, popular enough now that you can easily access those cleaner items for sure.
One day I went through, I kind of do this, like, where I'll go crazy over something for a day, you know, and then kind of try and get things knocked out. Mm-hmm. And one day I made, and I'm not suggesting this, you guys, so please don't don't hear this and say, oh, I'm going to be a failure, you know, because I'm not doing this. But one day I made deodorant and toothpaste and sunscreen and shampoo and conditioner and detergent for dishes and clothing and blush and lip balm and eyeshadow. And I mean, I had so much fun, and an anti-aging serum and body butter. And I did this all in a day, but I had gone through, pulled the recipes, because over the years I've done that, ordered everything, got everything here so that that day I could just do it. I had the containers, I had the ingredients, and I had a plan. And so I remember, it reminded me when I was a little girl living in Japan, my mom used to make gyoza. And what we would do is for an entire day, we would stand there, we'd roll gyoza, and then we'd put them away in the freezer. And you can do this, like you can make large amounts, large batches of something, and you can put it in the refrigerator and freezer and it stays good. And so you can do it that way if that speaks to you, or you can do one thing at a time. But I find that for myself, if I used to do that when my four kids were growing up in my home, I, on a weekend, I would take a day and I'd make a whole bunch of base things for food, you know, and then I would freeze them. And then I could just pull stuff out, add to with fresh. And then I would have a very, you know, quick meal that, and so putting the energy into that organization is a really great way of doing this, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even, I mean, that's why I say start with, you know, realizing what you're using. And like you said, do your research first. Yeah. So that whether you're doing it rotationally as you run out of stuff, you already know what you're going to use, right? Yeah. Or if you're going to make it, then maybe you already have the ingredients ready to go.
Right.
Huge. And the, your, I love the cooking hack too, is I use all the time. I mean, with those of us with autoimmunity, don't, especially, you know, moms, you know, we don't want to be standing in the kitchen, or can't physically sometimes be standing in the kitchen every night, start the meal from scratch.
And my recipes for that day, by the way, I put together as a little booklet that everybody that's in this summit gets for free. So those autoimmune detox, you know, home care recipes are part of this. And also Julie is giving her top 10 kitchen swaps to reduce toxic load. So you guys are getting the information, right? And it'll just be, and what I would encourage is also, Julie, when you just talked about kitchen hacks, I just realized, I was talking to my daughters about this. My dad passed away last week, and they were, my whole family was here. And I was watching my daughters and my sons in the kitchen as they were making food for a crowd, and thought, they have learned to not be afraid of the kitchen, and not everybody has that, you know? And so, you know, I would say if you can give yourself permission to fail at some of this and to mess up like that, that's, I remember my kids used to watch something on PBS called Magic School Bus. And one of the things I loved about the beginning of it was, let's get messy, you know? And I just thought, oh, that's so brilliant to be able to tell a child, right? So I'd say that to you too.
Yes. Just
play.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that you say that. My youngest is 21, and people marvel at her all the time because she cooks.
Yeah.
And because, you know, she grew up, we cooked, and all of my kids know how to cook. They're self-sufficient. And it becomes a gift, but that willingness to make a mistake. I mean, we can't get, you know, into adulthood without making mistakes.
Be willing to throw a batch away and say, well, that didn't work. Where did it go wrong? What can I adjust? You know, and that's how we get to the place where this is automatically running and there's no work at it anymore. Right.
Absolutely. Made a new recipe last night, as a matter of fact. And I said, you know, we sat down to dinner and I gave the warning. Never made this before, didn't even taste it before we sat down, you know, but I, you know, if it's decent, next time it'll be even better because I'll know how to improve it. And it actually ended up being delicious anyway. But it, you know, you just never know. But it's
well, the reason I'm speaking to this is because I think one of the toxins, and it's that addiction to control, is perfectionism. You know, and so I always say, like, everybody with autoimmune disease has four P's. Perfectionism, people pleasing, holding on to the poison of past pain. And also in Ayurvedic medicine, you have a fair amount of pitta in you, which is that fire. And, you know, that can cause inflammation if it goes awry, emotionally, mentally, spiritually too. And so, you know, the addiction to perfectionism and control, it'll show up in the kitchen and with finding the perfect non-toxic ingredients. And so, you know, it's like, just letting go of that with compassionate curiosity, right?
Absolutely. And I'm foundation, not perfection. Just foundation, right? We want the basis of what we're doing to be supportive. Mm-hmm. And we can let go of the perfect or keep trying to let go of the perfect for sure.
Right. All right. So we talked about toothpaste. We talked about, and so what are some of the ingredients in toothpaste? You mentioned shampoo, soap, toothpaste, things that foam have got some chemicals in there.
Yep. Sodium lauryl sulfates and its cousins and friends. So anything that, you know, for those of us of a certain age, that foam kind of equals clean, right? Like that was a pattern we had to change, just like I used to be afraid of healthy fat. You know, I used to think that foamy things made for good clean. So there is a little bit, again, of almost a learning curve, if you will, of just changing that mindset that something has to be foamy for it to be cleaning you or doing its job. And so toothpaste is another one of those that, you know, they like to make a nice foamy toothpaste. But the other really, for me, the big problem ingredient in most toothpaste, well, I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
As I was going to say the word and I'm like, oh, artificial sweeteners.
Right. Color. Yeah.
But fluoride, you know, I was definitely like raised, you know, we need fluoride. It's a neurotoxin. I don't want to put that in my mouth every day. You know, I filter it out of my water. Why would I brush my teeth with it?
It's got a direct correlation to your thyroid health. You know, fluoride absolutely. Does, or lack of health. So if you remember that elemental table from high school chemistry, right? Fluoride, iodide, bromide, and chloride all shared the same column with different weights, and fluoride is heavier than iodide, and so it kicks it off. So are chloride and bromide, and so then we get iodine deficient because of this, right? Which our thyroids use as part of our immune system, and so we wind up having this immune imbalance when we're introducing fluoride consistently or sealing our teeth with fluoride, and you know all of this fluoride stuff that had really great marketing help, didn't it?
Sure did.
It's kind of like milk
or sugar
right?
Yeah, definitely some good marketing to you. And it's interesting that it is one of the areas where my clients tend to push back the most, because people just don't understand, and they've just received that messaging their whole life, you know. But I can't use a toothpaste without fluoride, you know, I'm going to get cavities. I'm like, actually, that's not how that works.
Well, still give them an alternative. You know, you can do oil pulling.
Absolutely.
You know, again, 10,000 years old, they knew about this. They didn't have fluoride. Yeah. And so oil pulling with a little bit of cold pressed organic sesame oil, and you don't need very much because you have to have it in your mouth 15 to 20 minutes swishing it around. So your saliva is getting added to that. And so if you put a lot in there, you're going to be like, we've all had that experience in the beginning.
Spit it out in the trash can, not in the drain, people.
Well, I use old supplement containers, you know, spit it into that, put a lid on it. Yeah. Yeah. So, and you can use, people always ask me about coconut oil, and you can, however, the sesame oil is better tested and has a bit more of that toxic chelation piece to it. The sesame oil is a little bit stronger for that, and as well as antiviral and antimicrobial and moisturizing, and it's good for your teeth. And you can add a couple drops of an essential oil in there, like clove or cinnamon or mint, you know, to make it taste good. And it also has its own properties, and swish it around. It's just like half a teaspoon is all you need. And while you're in the shower, right?
It's good stuff. It's, yeah. So you get the benefit of not only are you not dumping more toxins into your body, but you're also supporting your detox with it. So,
yeah. Right. Yeah. And that will reduce your cavity risk, which is what the fluoride is meant to do. So it's a really, really good. All right. So anything else in the bathroom? We want to talk about makeup.
I would love to talk about makeup. I want to touch on the deodorant antiperspirant thing. Just because, again, when I used the word pushback earlier, and I was like, oh, that one also gives, you know, people give a lot of pushback. I yet to have a client who hasn't eventually made a complete 180. But I have so many clients who arrive and they're like, well, I have to use an antiperspirant. And so we first work on breaking them of that, because you know, most have aluminum in them and also not great to be absorbing, you know, in your tender skin all day long. Also
right by your breast tissue and lymphatic drainage.
Pathway. We are supposed to, we have to sweat. That's what it's for. And so we don't want to block that. And then that always leads to, well, but I stink and these natural deodorants don't work for me. Well, when you're detoxing the other components in your life, i.e. diets, you find that actually I don't stink anymore. And so, you know, that's always exciting for me when somebody who was so dug in when we first meet and start working on this, you know, when we get things dialed in and they're like, you know, I actually don't have body odor. And again, information our body gives us. I know at this point in my life, if I feel like I have an odor, I'm like, okay, what did I eat? Where, what, you know, what did I do? It's information. It's, you know, my first body response of letting me, which is great. It's not painful. So I just want everybody to know that's contemplating a change. If you feel like you do have body odor, it will clear as you clean your diet up and manage your stress better and do all of the detoxy things.
You know, and I would say also play with this. Again, I'm going to use the word play, not work on it, where I had to, when I found a commercial, when I was looking for a commercial brand to go from Secret, which is what I used to use, to something that would work for me in my head, I had to try a bunch of them. And I landed on Tom's of Maine or Jason's, I can't remember, but it was an apricot one. And the others, the other flavors, so to speak, wouldn't work. It was just that apricot one that would work. And so then I used that one for a while until I could transition to something that I created that, you know, didn't have even what they had in there. So, you know, you can kind of play with this as you're going and just experiment. And, you know, instead of having one failure, say, well, these things don't work for me. Really stay with it and use, you really are, whether you know it or not, you are a giant science fair experiment. So, you know, it's like, okay, let's see what this does, you know? So I would just encourage that too. Curiosity, you know, so body, how do you do with that? How do you like it? And what information are you trying to give me? And yeah.
Yes. I went through the same process. And you know, we all have different body chemistry.
Yep.
And so, my daughter and I were going through the process together, and it was fun. You know, we didn't end up with the same thing didn't work for both of us. Yeah. And so it is the experimental approach is absolutely the way to win, because you're already taking account for what we talked about before, being ready and prepared to fail and get up and try something different.
Yeah.
And so it is definitely, and I'm not as committed, although you're inspiring me. I do use several commercial products, but I'm really, really careful about what I do use.
Yeah.
Because some of my initial trials of homemade stuff were fails.
Yeah.
And so you're inspiring me to try again. I'm going to use those recipes and just take it to a whole new level. And again,
and adjust, right? Adjust, like, oh, a little bit more bentonite clay here might be nice, but I feel drier, or so you just kind of, oh, this essential oil I really like. Oh, this one makes my armpit break out. You know, like you just kind of get information. Your body is giving you information all the time. So just document it like you would if you were a scientist, you know?
Yeah, I think of it like, you know, driving a car. I mean, you don't get in the car and hold the steering wheel straight and expect
right.
wherever it is you want to go, right?
Yes.
That's what we're kind of always doing. We're always navigating. And, you know, we get one thing figured out and then our body tells us something else.
Mm-hmm.
So it is this, it's a very fluid process for sure.
Yeah. All right. So
the makeup bag. Oh my gosh.
The toxic bag of goodies.
Oh, where to even start? I want to just throw this one out just in case anybody doesn't know. This goes for the makeup. It goes for, you know, there's no federal regulation for household products at all. So anybody listening thinking, you know, this can't be right. There can't be all these toxins, and that there are. The laws surrounding, you know, protecting what is going into our cosmetics, I believe, I could be wrong about the year. It was the early 40s, I think, the last time anything was, you know, put into that law to protect us. We have it's a unique situation in this country. We are, you know, companies are allowed to use almost whatever they want in these products. So I learned a lot by studying, you know, what are they doing in Europe? Because they don't roll that way in Europe.
No, they don't.
No, not at all. So we can get even cleaner than that, but like right away, if it's a product that wouldn't be allowed to be used in Europe, I'm not using it for
right.
sure.
Right.
But there are now, this was another, again, you're like a goddess. I never made my own makeup. I never tried. I did stop wearing makeup for a long time. And I would dabble. I would find, you know, a truly clean product and I would use it and it was gross. So I wasn't getting the results that I was hoping for. And thank goodness, you know, just like finding cleaner food alternatives, now there are some really good. So many good choices, mm-hmm. easy to access. They're not a fortune.
Yeah.
Really, really good companies out there that make full clean lines.
The thing of it is when you detox your emotions and you're not resentful anymore, I always call resentment the most toxic chemical created on this planet, and it's done right here. It's not dumped in the air, water, and soil by giant corporations. It's right here. So once you do that work, and so then you're not scrunching your face in consternation about life any longer, right? And then once you clean up your diet and you're listening to your body and eating according to your genetics and what your immune system is not reacting to, and really asking questions with compassionate curiosity, I don't wear makeup on my face, you know?
You don't have
to have it. So, you know, I do a little blush in the wintertime, which I have on right now. And my blush is cacao powder based. With some mineral added to it, which is so cool. And I was like, are you serious? Like, that's so cool, right?
And again, so you're, in a sense, when you do use it, you're feeding your skin.
Yeah.
Your foot, there's no takeaway, there's no negative impact. And I do, especially, you know, I work virtually in these days of camera, you know, I like a little mascara. Like it's it's nice to have that little pop. And again, really good options out there now, but do your homework because this is definitely an area where expensive.
And the homework where you can go to look at the ingredients and what you have, even if it says natural and organic on top of it, is Environmental Working Group is a great place to go, right?
It's my absolute favorite for every room in your house. If you are like me and you like shortcuts, the easiest thing I can recommend is so Environmental Working Group, but the EWG verified products. That's it. They're as clean as you're going to get in a commercial product or a makeup. And so I just, for the sake of time, time management and stress and energy, you know, if I'm going to buy a commercially made product, it's the EWG verified are the ones that I start with, because then I'm not, you know, why is it a two? Is it a fragrance? Is it an allergen? It's like, no, these are clean. Good. And again, you still may have to play of what's best for you, but it's definitely.
Yeah. If it says natural fragrance or natural flavor, no.
It's interesting. I have had a hypersensitivity to fragrances for years. It's been a really significant problem. Not a big surprise to eventually find out that I have phthalate toxicity.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no wonder. And again, that's another, we get used to this, you know, overwhelm. I have a family member who tries really hard at this point. It took a long time. Like, you know, I can't sit in a car with you if you're wearing perfume but people don't even, it's not just perfume, it's your hand cream. It's the everything. Yeah. And many people have used so many products, right? And the air freshener, the
layering,
their clothes smell, even if they think they didn't put anything on with fragrance.
The dryer sheet that their clothes were dried with. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love EWG. I love EWG verified, and not even just products. It's the same with, you know, which is off topic, but it is a kitchen item. You know, their Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 resources that they put out every year. You know, you will not catch me, eating conventional off the Dirty Dozen list.
Right.
So it's just a fantastic resource to shortcut for people.
In my cookbook, the Autoimmune Paleo cookbook, the tagline on it is anti-inflammatory recipes with 7 ingredients or less for busy people. And I would say the same thing is true. And I have the EWG Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 in there and the resources for finding that. But what I would say is the 7 ingredients or less is great for busy people, and 7 ingredients or less, you know, the fewer ingredients and what you're using on your skin is also a key.
Yes. Right.
If you can pronounce all of them and you know what they are and you would eat them and there are only a few, you're doing really well.
Absolutely. And again, be gentle with yourselves. It's a process, you know, especially if you're in the beginning of this cleanup journey, you know, it really does take a lot of time. That's why that kitchen swap handout, it's 10 swaps. And again, I mean, it could take 10 months to make those swaps, but the impact would be amazing, even if it was one a month. It's huge, really huge.
We have a whole bunch of birthdays in February. Mine was yesterday, and then I have a son and a husband in February, right? And so the whole family was gathered because of my dad's death. And so my daughters were making birthday cakes for everybody at the same time. And one of them was a red velvet cake, and I don't have food coloring in my home anymore. And my daughter said, do you have any beetroot powder? And I just remember thinking, wow, how cool is that?
Well done, Mom.
I know. How cool is that? That she knew exactly, you know, what to ask for a red velvet. And then when I said, I don't up here, then she said, okay, I saw some beets in there. And then she went about making her own. right? Juicing some beets and experimenting with that to see if it would work. She was like, well, when I drink beet juice, my poop turns red in the toilet. So probably, you know, and then we're all laughing about this, you know? So it's that willingness to really move into something and say, would that work? And, you know, oh, I don't have that, but how about if I try this, you know? And it's just that with everything, it's so great.
It really is. And what a gift you've given her, right? And the cake could have turned out like a muddy brown color, but it probably still would have tasted delicious.
It was a muddy brown color because it was chocolate. It was delicious. It was perfect.
Fantastic. And it is, it's such a gift. And I love the other gift you're instilling in them is the, you know, that full circle of life with what you guys are moving through as a family to, you know, be like, yeah, we're in this place. And, you know, it's also our birthday month in the house. Right? So,
yeah, it was really, really beautiful actually. All right. So what other rooms? One of my favorite hacks for detoxifying an environment is houseplants.
Yes, I am surrounded. Well, you can tell.
Same here. But I have to tell you something, Julie. One of my patients, he's also a student of mine, said, I found out that one of the reasons I was having trouble recently is because my houseplants had mold. And I went, oh, I'd never considered that. I have, you know, something upwards of 50 something houseplants, you know, and she said, I'd had this one for over 25 years. Wow. And it was a great big one in a great big pot. And it had mold. And so, you know, she was talking about like sprinkling diatomaceous earth over the soil every once in a while, you know, and I thought, oh, that's what a great idea. So.
Well, the whole, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
Plants have so much value.
Right.
But, you know, as somebody working on mold toxicity, it was really good to consider. I hadn't considered it. And that plant could have picked up that mold, you know,
right.
House in a, you know, past location somewhere.
Right. Maybe creating a day a year, this is what I kind of thought about. Maybe a day a year that I would go around and repot all my houseplants. You know, they ask for bigger pots as they grow anyway. So maybe I could investigate the root system, give them new soil, make sure there's not mold growing there. And so just a little new piece of information I had never considered that I got recently.
Now you have me thinking too about, just the mindfulness around that and also the difference between pots that drain
and
pots that don't as well. So and just for those of you that don't already have houseplants and want to start cleaning up your air, if you have pets, also look into some houseplants are toxic to cats and even dogs as well. So just make sure you're knowledgeable.
And toddlers.
And children.
Yeah.
What about the human babies? You can tell my kids are grown now.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking about too. Like, oh yeah. And kids.
All of those creatures we care for.
Make sure yes. So what about furniture and carpet and, you know, if you're building a new house, you know, this off-gassing piece. Playground equipment is one of the most toxic for arsenic that rains on the wood in the Pacific Northwest here, right? It's emanating arsenic. So what to do about that?
Well, still take your kids outside to play. We'll start there. If you're getting play equipment for your own home, you know, it's that pressure treated wood that is less expensive and lasts longer is what has the most arsenic and off-gassing in it. So just educate yourself on what your options are. But also, you know, people tend to think, well, my home's newer, so it's got to be healthier. And again, the newer the home, the more airtight usually the home as well. All of the adhesives used in your flooring and your carpets and you mentioned your furniture, there are improvements being made. I think it's by 2022 that the new standards will be in for all new home materials. But again, this is where knowledge is power, because just because standards are improving doesn't mean like, oh, well then I'm going to get a new home in 2 years and it's going to be free of all this stuff. It's not reducing the levels.
It'll be free of mold. And I think that's where people, supposedly.
Now,
yeah.
That's I built the home I'm in 3.5 years ago and was so excited because I was working on my mold toxicity. And one of the reasons why mold is still an issue is because it can be in, you know, the plywood and the beams and the joists and in those products before the home is even built.
Yeah.
And then we've created this airtight, you know, now we're holding the moisture in instead of out. So the new home, but we just always have to be aware of what's going on around us. And I think that's the biggest key, you know, even front load washers, you know, can be like a great place for mold to grow in the gaskets if you're not, you know, leaving the door open and careful and checking. But the furniture issue should be improving. You know, we are finally learning that those fire retardants that we're putting on furniture and bedding and mattresses and clothes and baby clothes and baby blankets, we're just wrapping ourselves up in toxins. And so those numbers also should start improving. But here's where, you know, air purifiers, plants, open your windows when you can open your windows. Get that air, because again, many of us are trained to think, you know, it smells good in my house and so my house is clean and outside is not, and it's actually the other way around. So get some fresh air moving through your home and
get outside every day and move in that air too.
And you can find, when we were looking for furniture for this home, and there, even 4 years ago, there was furniture that, you know, was much lower VOC, no flame retardant. Another kind of do your homework area. And again, don't throw all your furniture out. But as you're making new purchases, really be mindful of what you can do.
Well, and I used to, I've done a lot of woodworking through my life and also I'm a photographer and did my own developing. So a lot of chemicals in both of those things. And over the years, you know, I remember back when we used to put polyurethane varnish on everything, right? Yeah. And I kind of liked the smell of it. Like I liked the smell of my darkroom chemicals, you know, it reminded me of home, my dad working in the wood shop. And so, you know, you have to think about those things and you can now find those same exact products that do the job, but with less VOC. So,
Same thing. And you're just speaking to my heart. My mom was a photographer. We had a dark room in the house. And so you mentioned the smell of the chemicals and I got that memory hit. But I was also the kid that loved the smell of gasoline.
I know, me too.
That's like 70s. So I don't know what that's about. But.
And that sticky, sweet smell of the crop dusters that we would go pull, you know, it's just like, oh gosh, you know? Yeah.
Why there's toxic burden issue.
Yeah. I don't know why I got RA. Yeah. So, but also reversed it, you know, by being able to bring the awareness to this, being able to clean up. The first time I did a detox, I was so sick and so crabby. And then I remember remarking several years ago when I was I do a 21 day cleanse 3 to 4 times a year. And it's not something you pick up off the shelf because autoimmune people usually have a phase 1, phase 2 mismatch. You do not want to upregulate phase 1 at the same rate you do phase 2. So, and that's why I got so sick the first time through. But I remember running a half marathon on a cleanse going, wow, I don't even notice I'm detoxing right now. You know, like, because I've caught up. My body is now filtering real time instead of all of the back story.
That just gave me goosebumps. I mean, that's my goal.
Yeah. So yeah. And that takes some time to chip away and, you know, get all those filtration systems so that they're operating in real time and not with a buildup of a lifetime. So, which is where we all have to start, wherever we're at. So
absolutely. And progress is progress.
Yes. Yes.
We can all get there.
Yeah. All right. Well, Julie, is there something we have not talked about that you want to talk about?
Because I have to, because I'm such a geek. Water. I said the word earlier.
Oh yeah, that's right. Big one.
It is a big one. And it's a twofold because, you know, depending on the quality of the water you're drinking, if you're on city water versus well water, I cannot encourage enough, you know, looking into a good water filter. As a start, I always recommend a reverse osmosis, at least for your drinking water. Ideally, you know, the step up from there would be also your shower heads. Again, we want that chlorine and fluoride off our bodies. If you're fortunate, it was one of my most exciting things about building this house was that I got to put in, you know, a whole house reverse osmosis system that we just absolutely love. And I have horses on my property, and when I turned that water on, I did not put a whole barn system in. I have troughs all over the property. Didn't really make sense. And when I turn that water on now, that smell of chlorine that hits me in the face, I'm just so grateful that that's not what's coming out of my taps at home. So
yeah.
Again, bit by bit, right? Depending on where you are, some kind of filtered drinking water. And because I said that, I need to say, you know, drink it out of glass or stainless. Not out of plastic. Don't buy the cases of the plastic bottles. Just give your body a break. And that is on my kitchen swap list as well. But actually, both of those things, the water and the plastic, but that's where they meet. And so many of us spent way too much time drinking plastic bottles.
Yeah, it's so true. I had a reverse osmosis system for my whole house and it broke while we were out of town and flooded the house. And then caused a mold problem that we didn't know about that had to be dealt with several years later. So now we don't have one. And so I will say, I want to move back to that again, but you can buy shower filters and they're very easy. I recently moved to Portland for a few months for school and I'm back in my other house now, but it took literally a half an hour.
Yeah.
To put a Berkey water filter on the countertop of this house I was renting, to stick, you know, filters in every single one of the taps and the shower, and boom, 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 you know, I was all done. And I had 45 houseplants in the place and, you know, opened the window every night, made sure the modem wasn't in my bedroom, you know.
About the EMF toxicity.
Lloyd Burrell, we have a talk on EMF all by itself because it's such a huge, right? It's a huge one. But things like that you can really do.
My daughter is 21. She has done that in every apartment she's lived in on campus in college. Your place sounds just like hers, filled with plants. She did the filters, had the countertop, Berkey. It was, you know, easy. If a 21-year-old girl or an 18, 19-year-old girl can do it, we can all do it.
Body boop, bitty bop. It was done, you know, and I just wanted to say that for people who kind of think like, well, I don't have thousands of dollars to spend on a whole house reverse osmosis system and I don't have this and I, you know, but they are very inexpensive. These filters you can put in your shower head and on the faucets, they really are, and very easy to install. So I would just encourage that. And they have to be, you can't put it on and leave it for the rest of your life.
Right.
Follow the instructions on the package, make yourself a little tickler file about when to return back to them. But yeah, it works.
Doable. Very, very doable.
What else? What else? So there's so many things that we could talk about here. But
how many more hours do we have?
I know.
just that reminder. We didn't really touch on, so I'll just throw it out there as a, you know, room by room, right? We started in the bathroom and we talked about the kitchen because to me, again, you know, you're putting that stuff on your on and in your body every day in the bathroom, and you're, you know, hopefully using your kitchen every day as well. But you know, you touched on the, you know, the laundry room and, yeah. and the cleaning products you're using, and you know, just start to really notice what you're, what you, everything you touch. What is it?
Again, it's back to basics. Vinegar, you cannot go wrong with white vinegar.
It is so true. Yeah. So I always say, you know, room by room, bit by bit, be gentle. Yes, you're going to try some stuff that you're not going to like. And that's okay. You just try something new. And when you think you've done it all, look around again, because I'm that person. I just realized I've been using like a normal people drip coffee pot for I don't know how long. The carafe is stainless, lovely. And it hit me. I was like, oh my gosh, the rest of it's plastic. Like, even though my water filter's coffee filter was metal, but it still had plastic in it. And I'm not, everybody needs, again, it's not about perfection. But for me personally, I am working on BPA toxicity and phthalate toxicity. So, and I had this idea of like, you know, but I'm so clean and I'm avidly avoiding, I don't use plastic. I don't have plastic in my kitchen.
Right. And so, I had to whisper to my daughter, my mom's house, she still has some plastic leftover containers, and my daughter's ladling steaming hot things into it. And I had to go up behind her and whisper in her ear, don't put hot things in plastic, please, honey. I'll go find you a glass jar.
And here's my pro tip for, you know, the glass containers with the hot food. Don't put the plastic lid on it while you're eating. Not either.
right. The heat is what makes all of that get released. So
so many layers. So for those of you wondering, because I brought it up, what I did about the coffee pot is I got an old school electric fully stainless percolator, and I have to say, makes the best coffee ever. And there's not a stitch of plastic, you know, that touches the pot with anywhere. And again, you know, I do this for a living. I was thinking, well, I don't use pods, right? It's not a Keurig. You're running hot water through plastic. So
I will say that people don't like me much. I live in Seattle, and I always take people off of coffee. So hopefully it's not even an issue.
And to be fair, I was off of coffee for a really long time. And I
find that most people with autoimmune disease in their genetics, they do not process caffeine very well. And so it can cause inflammation, you know, it can contribute to some of the problems. And so I'm always trying to get people to drink Dandy Blend or Capomo or something different than coffee. So,
yes, and I think Sip Herbal is the name of the company. There's a new product out there. For those that are like, oh, drink my coffee away. There are so many good alternatives.
There are. Yeah. Thank you so much, Julie. And again, the kitchen swap tool, the 10 swaps for your kitchen, we are going to have linked to Julie's talk here. And I'm excited for you to see it and to start that process. And remember to be kind and gentle with yourself and allow the part of you that has that perfectionistic streak to go play. Sit down, have a nap.
Thank you anyway.
That's right. Appreciate your input. Yes. All right. So everybody, until next time, be well.